Hi, everyone. Get ready for the How I Raise It podcast, the show where you get an inside, unfiltered look at how real entrepreneurs raise capital for their businesses. I'm your host, Nathan Beckard, and today's episode is with Ido Tal of Raise the Round, a virtual accelerator that trains founders how to raise capital. Ido is a five-time founder. His last company was acquired by Google, and he shares an awesome seven-step methodology for managing investor meetings, both how to run a meeting when pitching investors and how to do follow-up the right way. It's really, really valuable content. If you are tuning into this podcast to learn how to raise capital for your business, I've created a super valuable free welcome package for you. It includes a list of 2,500 investors who don't require a warm intro, plus 200 of the most important questions that serious investors are going to ask you. This is really going to help you get prepared to rock your fundraise. To get access to this, please leave us a nice review in the Apple iTunes store. Hit all the stars. Leave a nice comment or two, and then email us at info@foundersuite.com, and I'll send that package to you right away. Last but not least, if you enjoy this conversation or this podcast, think someone else would too, please share it with them. Hit that subscribe button to get all our latest episodes. Thank you. Sit back and enjoy the chat with Ido.
Welcome to How I Raised It, the podcast that goes behind the scenes with entrepreneurs who've raised capital. We uncover the tips, tricks, and techniques they use to get investors to write a check. Strap in and turn it up.
Hi, welcome to another episode of How I Raised It, produced by Foundersuite.com. Today I have Ido Tal of Raise the Round coming to us from Palo Alto. How's your day going?
Good. Thank you for having me, Nathan.
Glad to have you here. This is exciting to have an expert in fundraising on the show. Most of the people we have on this show are founders who have become somewhat of an expert on fundraising because they've raised some capital, but you're one who actually deals in fundraising. So we'll get into that a little bit. Actually, let's just start with that. What is Raise the Round, your current project? We'll go into what you've done in the past, but let's start with what is Raise the Round.
Raise the Round is an online course live with me that take you step by step learning how to, the same method I use to raise money from hundreds of investors. So do's, no do's, very clear methodology, including a lot of get shit done sessions. Mm-hmm. See, work on the slide, work, how to manage a meeting, how to create traction even before you launch a product, how to differentiate yourself in the market, what is your unfair advantage, how you create a social proof with investor, what is a role in closing, how to use that, how to structure a deal with your co-founders, how to prepare yourself for raising the money, and then go with us, raise the money as a tribe of founders together, mm-hmm. that you are not alone.
Do you call it, and how long does the program last? And how many sessions do you do a year?
I'm not sure how many more I'll do. Like, I'm a founder like you guys. I had five startups. We're planning one that starts in January 14th. In like 10 days, we start with a boot camp that is a 5 days event, an hour and a half every day, that we take you through the methodology, how to lead yourself to get yes from investors.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Great. And so how long does the whole program last?
And after the bootcamp, you can apply to go for another 2.5 months program with us to get yourself fully ready and start attacking investors. And I think that I might say that, you know, like, being a fundable founder, like, no, the notion that you know how to raise money is freedom. That you can go in a rolling closing and raise money again and again and again. I think that, tell me, Nathan, your data, but when you are in a topic, not, it takes time to gather a topic, like, the closing rate is between 20 to 25%. That you go to investors and you know that you can close, but it takes time together. It's not easy.
I like that. I mean, I think I often tell people, like, our customers who are mostly startups, mostly first-time founders, mostly first-time fundraisers, you know, fundraising is not rocket science, but there are a lot of nuances to it, a lot of little subtleties that have to be learned, but that it can be kind of learned and mastered by anyone, right? It's a lot of ways to do it wrong, but the right process can be learned by anyone. So
I love it. I totally agree. Look, I was also a product manager at Google after our last acquisition. So it's all data driven, right? You launch a product, you get data. With investors, many times you don't get feedback. Investors will not tell you why they are not interested to invest.
Yeah.
It can be a sentence that you said. It can be an oversell, like a sentence that you scare them. And they just say, get back to us when you have more.
You're traction. Right. Yeah.
Right? I've heard that so many times before, right? Get back there. And they don't give you a real feedback. So I think putting yourself in an environment with experienced people that can help you very clearly say, don't do that, do that. Like, instead of you going through trial and error, this is something that I think every founder should do.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Cool. Briefly, let's touch on what you did before starting Raise the Round. You had a startup called Envy Labs. Just what was that? What did you do? What was it? And how much did that company raise?
For sure. So I had five startups. Not all of them. Envy was a success, but I do want to emphasize that I have big failures as well. A lot of them, right? It's you fail till you succeed once. You fail till you succeed once. That's the process, I think, of success is not reaching the desired outcome yet, but keep on going. With Envy, we did a rolling closing on a seed round for $7 million for a smart messaging app that was really fun to use. And one day Google knocked on the door, they came to our office, they see what we built, and they said, that can be really cool too if you can merge it with Android messages. Mm-hmm. Which happened, and eventually together it became Google Messages. When we joined them, there were about 35 million users. When a year ago, the data were over 600 million users when I left. So it was very humbling and great experience. I think it's a different topic for a podcast. What's happened when a founder joined a company, that was a roller coaster by itself.
Yeah.
And all that will not happen if we wouldn't have amazing investors to support us. We had 42 investors. So I'm a strong believer in a rolling closing. Some people say, no, go to one VC, raise $7 million. By all means, if you can do that, I salute you. Like I think that 99% of founders would be better with rolling. That's the only feasible option. You know, you start with smaller amount, go to bigger amount, and make sure that you don't have bad apples in your basket.
And just to find that just in a little more detail. So you were raising around from lots of different individuals kind of on an ongoing basis. Is that what you mean by the rolling?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you frame it. There's a way to frame it. You say, yeah, we're doing the seed round. Let's say I want to raise $1 million. I say I'm raising 750. I always recommend to go 75%. So you're always overbooked. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, then you can go a little bit higher. So it's create a little bit of scarcity. And bring some people on a smaller amount, but create a social proof. Like in my case, and leverage what you have. Like I brought some executive from Google and Facebook and Groupon and Spotify early stage. They put smaller amount, but once they got in, it was enough social proof to people to put a larger amount and larger amounts.
Interesting. Okay. So you kind of built some social proof with people you knew who had a name brand company behind them, you know, where they work basically, and then use that to get professional investors, like kind of professional angels, VCs. Yeah.
Yes. So the only thing that I did not know those executives before, I approached like five executives from Google and closed one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I forced five from Facebook and closed one. It's take time. It's not like that you know the people you're from in. Like I wasn't. I was new to the Silicon Valley. I'm from Israel originally. My first startup, I presented the deck with spelling mistakes in English. Uh-huh. I will never forget one of the presentation in New York to a large advertising agency, one of the largest in the world. They're responsible for Pepsi budget. And I wrote a delivering digital message through the internet, and I wrote massage.
Uh-huh. Digital massages through the internet.
Yeah.
All right. You know, worse things have probably been put in decks, but okay, that's funny. Uh-huh. But they still wrote you a check, or they still invested.
So. I was lucky. Like they asked me, well, can you elaborate? How will you deliver massage through the internet? But yeah, eventually they put $2.3 million, and it was the base of a larger round. And this is what taught me, you know, you don't need to be perfect. Just create a learning loop that you can always go back. I think that everyone should find a mentor. And there are three criteria for finding one. Like, it has to be somebody who did it many times in the past, like an older sibling, I call it. That somebody, she did it in the past many times before. She likes to teach and you like her style.
Yeah.
If you have all three of them, she can be a good mentor for you. And like, it can be a founder that she just done it many times before, and you can call her and say, this doesn't work, that doesn't work, I haven't reached my desired outcome yet, what I'm doing wrong, and get the feedback.
Good. Yeah. Finding a mentor, critical, good. Great. Anything else? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of lessons from that experience of funding Envy, but anything else that just, you know.
Yeah. You know, one thing I learned, and I think that you guys are going to really benefit from that, is that when I used to go for a meeting, it took me time to understand the dynamic with the investors. Like, would you enjoy being in a meeting day after day? That's what investors are doing, with people who are trying to hard sell you the entire time.
Yeah, sure.
8 meetings a day. I used to be that founder. I used to come to a meeting and just do hardcore sell for a whole hour. And I can see their shoulders, see their facial. And this just didn't work. And I was trying to teach investors every bit of information I know about the market, the business. And this is such an ineffective method. It's great frustration with the investors and sometimes even antagonism. You start to hear, they look at the phone like the... And after a while, I developed a method that's like a 7-step method to creating a great meeting with an investor. That even if you are not the right type, they really like you and they introduce you to others. They say, you, it's not my field, but let me introduce you to three others. It's not my stage, but you know what? I'm doing more late seed. I'm introducing you to early seed if they invest so I can invest later. Like, they really want to keep you in the circle. So should I elaborate on that, Nathan?
Yeah, let's go into that. Tell us your 7 steps of...
if you're listening out there, write it down and practice that. This is one of the things that made a huge difference for me closing deals, because you put so much effort into creating a pipeline using Founder Suite and other services. You send emails, you send another follow-up, you get to the meeting, and then you're screwing it up. And so at least have a framework for the meeting, the investors to like you and to get excited. And this is a huge difference. So let's start. Number one.
Yeah.
2-3 minutes initial small talk. Have to create a rapport. And what's amazing, you can still create a rapport on Zoom.
Yeah.
Just, you know, talk about something. Hey, in this case, Nathan, I see like a certificate behind you. Like, what is it? And you're like, just let people talk about something they're passionate, they like. I sometimes talk about the background. One investor came with a Star Wars type background, talk about that, create a small talk, 2-3 minutes. That's number one. Number two, do a meeting framing.
Okay.
So super important. Before, I used to come and do a hardcore sell, like I call it a verbal diarrhea.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you don't do that. Don't be that founder. Meeting framing means say, hey, let me practice on you. Hey, Nathan, thank you so much. I believe we have an hour, right? So how about we do the following. 5 minutes, I'll give you my pitch through the deck. I'm trained for 5 minutes. It'll be 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I believe it has all the ingredients, most of the ingredients investors are looking for. After the 5 minutes, we take the big part of the meeting, like 30 minutes, for your Q&A. Like, easy questions, I'm here to answer. And then we do leave after the 30 minutes, we'll have 10 minutes for me asking you questions. Mm. And 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes to define next step together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I haven't met investors who said no to that. I see the shoulder relax. They know that they have a 5 minutes that they need to be quiet. And after that, this is their show to ask questions. And that's what happens. So step number one, initial small talk. Step number two, meeting framing, which I just did. Is that okay? If they say yes, you say, okay, let's start with the 5-minute pitch, which is step number three.
Yeah.
You prepare 12 slides with a 5-minute pitch that has all the ingredients. I think it's clear. Like, if you want, I can talk about which slide, but...
there's plenty of stuff out there about what slides to include. So I think, unless there's anything different in your approach, let's...
A very, very organized approach. But let's that after the 5 minutes, you say, you do micro framing. You say, hey, we're going to the next step, which is your Q&A. Do you have any questions for me? And I find that this is where the magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are thinking, when people start to think out loud in questions and you just answer to the point, and they ask a question that leads to another question, suddenly they totally understand the market. They totally understand the problem. Good meeting with investors is that the investors start to sell you what we can do together with that.
Mm-hmm.
Start to explain you that your vision is too small and we can go even bigger. Who else they can introduce you to? What else can we do together? I'll put money and then Sequoia will put, and then that, and I'll bring Draper Fisher. They start getting crazy with all their connection, and that's the point you want investors to be in. And that's the highest chance to this to happen is to be quiet. And just answer questions. Be enabler for them to think. They are smart people. They see, they get visibility of the market that is amazing. Let them talk. And I'll give you one practice here. This is remember step number four. So when investors used to ask me, hey, Ido, so what's your burn rate? And many times this was just for me to just say 60K. For them to say, okay, 60K multiplied by that, a year is that, so how much we need to raise? It was a question that part of their thinking. If you don't just answer 60K a month or 5K a month, whatever it is, but I used to start with the long explanations. They say, look, we're founder taking small salary, we're engineered, we're planning to hire an agent, like a whole verbal diarrhea of explanation they didn't ask for. So you're killing the dynamics. So you need to practice answering to the point, let them think, and that's where the magic happens. So after they talk for 30 minutes and you let them, it's a long time if you are quiet. And my method in that, I see myself visualize a big pile of $1 bills that every word I'm saying, it's like a $1 and I have a limited amount of bills.
Uh-huh. It costs you money. Every word you say is costing you money. Uh-huh. Wait, I want to drill onto that. I guess we're still on number four for a minute. So to summarize that part, which is interesting, you're saying kind of give very short answers to their questions, not explanations, but short answers, like direct answers, really. So you're just letting their brains spin. And also, I mean, one of the things that on the Q&A, I think people get stuck on is they get defensive, right? They feel like investors judging their business or finding the weaknesses, and you immediately get on the defensive as a founder. I'm like, well, it's 60K, but here's why, because XYZ, or, you know, why don't you have a co-founder? Whatever the question might be, right? It often puts founders on a defensive. So any just thoughts on that? And then we'll keep moving to step number five.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like everything, practice makes better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, by the way, we do in the course. That's what we do in the bootcamp. We practice. Yeah, you have to practice simulation. I call those people I practice on victims. I remember one time I called my mom.
Uh-huh.
And I pitched her my idea like three times. She asked me, Ido, how are you? I pitched her and said, Ido, you already said the same thing three times. I said, Mommy, thank you so much. I love you. Last time you lost patience after two times. This time you allowed me three times. Like, you have to practice.
Sure.
And you have to own it that you're early stage startup.
Yeah. Okay.
And most of it is in your head. It doesn't really exist, but it will happen once you get the funding.
Yeah. Okay. So for Q&A, keep it answers short, practice a lot. All right. Shall we move on to, I guess, step number five, which would be the 10 minutes to ask them questions, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But before that, even to double down on what you just said, I'm not saying don't give explanation. Let them ask for it. And if you see they're struggling and you want to say, you can ask for permission. Say, do you want to have the rundown of the breakthrough of our,
of your burn, like the breakdown of your burn.
Mm-hmm. The burn. And sometimes say, no, I just want to calculate. Some say, yes, please. So let them think. Sometimes they say, yes, please, because they just need another few seconds to think.
Sure.
Be aware. You need to, but once you don't talk, but you really communicating, read their face.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Keep going.
All right. Step number five, founders Q&A session. Like, you need to ask questions. Like, so many times I went to a hardcore sell at the end. I remember it happened to me a few times. The guy, the investor looked at me and said, look, this sounds amazing, but I'm not an investor in the space. Or I'm not doing a seed round. Or, try to do your homework before, like, see companies they invested in, talk with other founders. It's easy once you raise money in a tribe, or you LinkedIn parties, you talk about information, who met who and all of that. But even if you're by yourself, like, do your research and try whatever you didn't find online. So there's like 7 questions to ask here. Like, who make the decision?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your sweet spot? What's the average amount you invest in? Let's say she says, look, I'm doing $500,000. I'm a micro fund, $500,000 every month, one startup. What do you mean decision makers? I make the decisions. Yeah. I have Rachel working with me doing the due diligence, but I'm making the decisions. So you know that she's the lead investor and you're with the right person.
Yeah.
Some people say we're angel committee. We meet once in 3 months. There's a committee. There is that. You know that you're not with the decision maker. Like, it's crucial to know. Ask. So sometimes, how do you know if they're excited or no? So you ask them, is there anything else you would like me to meet? That's a great question to ask.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because let's say they say, no, I'm excited. I'm in. Like, I'm the decision maker. You know it. If they say, nope, there isn't.
Yeah.
And they don't elaborate. They're not interested to invest in your startup.
Yeah. Probably. Sure.
And if they say, yes, you have to meet my Michael, my partner. So if you pass him, we're in. So just get, it's a great question to get the feel, what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, good. Any other questions that you'd like to ask them? I guess.
Yeah. So if I sense from their answers that they are still debating, that they're excited, it's not a no. She would like to move on, the investor, but she's not ready to say yes. So what do you ask her in order to lead to that? So what I ask, would you be interested to meet anyone else in our team or come to see our office?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question, because it's almost like you manage the meeting, right? You manage the process of closing. You create another, you don't offer it all the time. Don't say it all the time. If they're excited, don't oversell. Don't add this step. Like, our goal is to close, right? What's the goal of the meeting? Is to close, not just to meet them. But if you feel that they need another step, just offer this another beautiful natural step. I have always amazing founders, co-founders, team to I work with. If you don't have, you have to change them to awesome one. It's super hard to succeed even if you have them. So meeting my team, I know I'm going to sell. I'm going to help close the deal. So there's a few more questions to ask. Depends on the situation. I always ask, are you feeling comfortable investing on SAFE?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that we're a Delaware corporation, or maybe you're Singapore, wherever you're located? Like, because sometimes Canadian company, just an investor, just invest in Canada, or like there's different stories. I love to ask, like, what's the sweet spot? Like, is there a time frame for deals usually you invest? You'll find funny answers. Like, I'll tell you one story. Like, one investor tell me, I invest one of every month. So I look at my watch and I said, we're on the 20th today.
Uh-huh.
It was August. I said, do you have one for August, or I'm falling into September? And it was funny. I was shocked with the answer. He said, I have one of August, but it's not as mature as yours. I'll put them to September. I'll put you in August.
Oh,
said, okay, let's do it.
Interesting. So So he's really investing almost like what's it called when you're putting a certain amount every month into the stock market, where it's like on autopilot? He's kind of on auto.
Yeah, that's how it felt. Some people are organized. Some people are messy. Don't the funny thing is that when I ask the questions, I can never know the answer. That's why I'm asking them.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a wild west. Every investor has their own method, their own way of thinking, their own decision-making, like micro fund, angel investors, family investors. Like, it so varies.
Okay, good. We have 2 more steps, so let's keep going.
Keep going. We were at number 5, now we're at number 6. Define next steps.
Mm-hmm.
So after you ask the question, don't forget, between every step, do a micro framing. what does mean microfamily? In this case, say, hey, Nathan, thank you so much for answering all my questions. I know I asked a lot, but it's really helpful for me to see. So now that I got a picture, like the last step is to define next steps. So we have 10 minutes for that. Are you ready to dive in? Get their permission, they say yes. And once we dive into define next steps, I already asked them a question. I know I said, so it sounds like that I need to meet Rachel on your team. Mm-hmm. For due diligence, so I have a full due diligence folder ready, like a data room.
Yeah,
be sent. Would you like me to send you our safe notes so you can see? And I understand your sweet spot, as you said, it's $200,000. So is that something you'll be like, in case we're gonna go for a deal, is that a fair amount in our deal as well? So some, let's say the investor, she said, yeah, $200,000 is great. We need to review the documents and assess. Sure. So Rachel, who else should be there? On my team is just me. I'll CC my technical co-founder. And you said about, how about the following? If you say about 7 days take you, I'll sign the note for 10 days. So what I do in the note, I signed already and I make it valid for 10 days. It's a little bit different, but that's how I function and teach my students, because it's almost like in real estate, you give them the option for the next 10 days to invest. It's a signed document. They just need to sign on the other side. What it creates, they ask for 7 days, you give them 10 days. It creates an automatic process. Mm-hmm. They need to make a decision 10 days. And also it means that you keep them the allocation for them for the next. And I know as founders say, what allocation, what are you doing about? I'm dying to get investments. But you need to create a process. And after that, some investors, when they see this, oh my gosh, look how Ido led us in the process. That's how you're going to lead prospects and customers. I like this approach. Mm-hmm. Very gentle, but very organized. So you practically, I send them the note for 10 days, whatever it is, with 200,000, leave the entity open. Like who invests, you have to leave open, because each rich person has his own investment company. They don't invest on their personal name. It's on their family trust. It can be on the corporation and the LLC. Who knows? So that you leave open.
Yep.
And you use an electronic, and you totally define those next steps, whatever needed. And after the meeting, you thank them, you go up. There's step number 7, which is follow-up. When do we do the follow-up?
Yep.
Nathan, when do we do the follow-up?
Oh, when do we do the follow-up? You're putting me on the spot. I like it. I'm saying like 3 days later, maybe 2 days.
Same day.
Same day. Oh, don't you mean like
follow-up? This is not dating.
Okay.
Same day. That's my method. Sorry to putting you on the spot. But same day. We are here to close. I'm not playing games. We have a pipeline. I'm a machine in fundraising.
Yeah,
and if you blink, you're going to lose. And I like that's the energy you want to reflect. You are on top of it. I can tell you many times.
By follow-up, we're talking about like the things she asked for. Maybe she wanted to see.
Let's talk what should be in the follow-up. That's a great question. Like, what should be in the follow-up? So sometimes I used to go out from the meeting, sit in my car, open the Wi-Fi on my phone, and do the follow-up. Like, you do the follow-up as soon as possible. And what should be the follow-up? What you agreed in define next steps. Usually a good meeting should be, I send you the note signed by me with the amount that you need to invest in. Don't put the entity, leave it for them to fill up. Use HelloSign. I use HelloSign. There's so many. HelloSign is great. I love it. And the reason all those services was once you said it, you can see if they open it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you also... And what's nice about it, I'll give you an example. I have two executives I met the same day. Both of them, I sent HelloSign to invest with them on the one. One, I get it snitch you. Said, they open it. They open it. They open it. They open it. You open it like 5 times. Every day you open it and they haven't signed yet. And the other person did not sign.
Mm.
So I knew that with the first one, I have a problem. They open it 5 times and they haven't signed. Mm-hmm. So I remember I text him and I say, hey, buddy, like, I know that Safe is, maybe you haven't invested in Safe before. Would you like me to, and you mentioned that your wife wants to see that. would you like me to come by to this evening? And we're going to go over just what is safe and why investors like that and startup like that. Immediately I got yes. I went to them, we make coffee, we went through the things, and he signed that evening. The other person I did not contact, the next day, I see he got in, he saw that. 10 minutes later, from his iPhone, he signed with his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it signed. So using those services, automate it, and also send them reminders. So you don't need to be the desperate founders to bag them. Like, it's all automatic reminders. So that's why you do that. What else goes in step number 7 in follow-up? One of my tricks in every meeting, it goes back to questions that you don't feel comfortable with. I always find one question that I said, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And they say, I can say, let's find out. Let's play with the financial model. So I jump on and jump on the financial model. What happened if immediately I put their data? Okay, if that distribution channel will not work, if price per piece is going to be eventually the cost for manufacturing going to be $50, not $25, whatever, all their assumptions, put it in and see how it's still profitable or not and what we need to do to mitigate this risk.
Yeah.
This is one thing. Or I say, I'll get back to you. Let me check, I'll get back to you. So always find that if this question does not come invented, like you need to, even if you know the answer for one question, said, I don't know, I'll get back to you. You need to always to create this sense of creating together. Look at you when you were a kid, you sit playing the sandbox. Mm-hmm. If somebody will do all the playing and you just ask questions, it's not fun.
Yeah.
You need to create like a mini working session together with the investors for them to feel included and to see, you almost demonstrate how is it to work with you as a founder.
Yeah.
How much fun it is and elevating it is to co-create together.
Yep, I like it.
So that's what goes in the follow-up. Any question, any open item, any meeting, schedule meetings, don't play games. Don't wait 5 days, 6 days, same day.
Yeah.
And if they need more time, you see that it's 7-8 days, they haven't opened it, just say, hey buddy, I noticed that it's already 2 days before closing. And you create a mini closing, even if it's one investors. Do you need more time? Is there a problem? Should we move on? Like, you need to be a little bit proactive, managing the process, because the last thing you want to do, which I was, I'm telling you all my problems, I used to go out of meetings and say, that was a great meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then people said, okay, what's the next step? I said, I'm waiting for the investor to get back to me. That's a failure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a bad meeting. Like, you need to be super active, because then they ghost you.
Yeah.
Because they meet 8 people like you every day.
Well, so I was interpreting the follow-up, how long to follow up, as after you've... So I like to define follow-up, right? Because I think it's important. There's 2 versions of follow-up. There's the follow-up, what did you agree on in the meeting that has to happen next? Anything you need to send them, scheduling, meeting with other people, all that stuff. And I agree with you, same day. But then once you've delivered all that stuff and now you are waiting on them, how many days do you recommend until you follow up and kind of nudge them? I mean, that's how I was thinking of it, but what are your thoughts on that? Like, kind of.
So I'm not getting into this trap. So I set automatic systems. So we said 10 days. So the HelloSign is valid for 10 days. The agreement said that they have 10 days. Now, the HelloSign send them automatic updates to the inside every day. Every day they get a reminder. Hey, you haven't opened it yet. Hey, you haven't opened it. It's about.
Yeah.
So they get those emails automatically from the system. And if you haven't heard from them for after 50% of the time you decide, you say, hey, half the time passed, just to make sure that you're in game.
Yeah.
You need to know if they're in the game or not. Like and that's totally okay if they are not, or if they need more information. Is there anything else we can support you with? I always CC someone else. And if you don't have that person, you can invent that person. It can be another email, Rachel at yourcompany.com. And she can follow up, say, hey, thank you so much for meeting Ido. I'm here to answer any question you have about that. So if you don't feel come from you, say, I'm a bit introvert, I don't want to be pushy, like invent Rachel. David. Manu, like any name works. Sure.
What's the most aggressive?
You to support them in whatever they need, any additional information.
Yeah. So let me recap and poke on a couple of questions. So this follow-up approach where you're sending them the safe note through HelloSign with the amount, blank entity, you know, you're sending that right after like a first meeting, and then basically they have 10 days. You're giving them like 10 days to kind of do the due diligence, any other meetings, and everything else.
3 more days than they ask for.
Uh-huh.
Let's say they take 2 weeks. They say, okay, 17 days. I always add 3 days just to make it softer for them. Usually they make this in 2 weeks, I add 3 days. If they think it takes 2 months, I say, okay, let's talk. This is a bad meeting. If somebody needs to take 2 months to put 200,000 in your company, or 50,000, or that, I'm not talking about Series A and B. I'm talking about this is the seed round, right? Rolling closing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, right. And sometimes you'll see that the follow up, when you define next steps, step number six, mm-hmm. they're not ready to get the HelloSign. I said, do you want to see documents? I said, no, it's too early. You still need to meet John and Rachel. So I just follow up on that.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So you don't always send the HelloSign like right after that first meeting. It kind of is depends on what happens in step six. Okay. That makes sense. I like that. But I mean, it's a very bold move. That's why I was kind of asking about that. Cause it's very much like, you know, here's the contract and it's got a clock ticking on it. So I think it's a very bold move, but I like it. Good. Have we covered all of step seven, the follow-up? Any other tips for the follow-up after the follow-up, you know, kind of where I was going a few minutes ago of like, once you've kind of met with Rachel and got them the financial model they were looking for and everything else, and really the ball is in their court, right? And now you're in a waiting game, which is where a lot of founders get a little stuck. Do you have any thoughts on how to keep that moving?
Yes. Two tips. Number one, make it your first priority in life.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching a movie with my wife, your girlfriend, whatever, you're there. You get an email, investors, drop everything, answer the email.
Yeah.
I'm on top. This is not the time to drop balls.
Yeah.
Because that's what creates momentum.
Yeah. Sure.
There's nothing like getting the investor excited that you met them, they want to put money, they ping you, you say, yeah, we'll raise already 300, we'll raise already 400. Some investor put in our company 200,000 just to check us out to see if they want to put another million. And I didn't know that. They didn't tell us that. Even if I asked questions, that was their hidden agenda, like what they plan to. And when they met us, they say, how much money do you have in the bank left? This was just one of the questions. And I said, 1.2 million. They said, but you raised only 500,000. I said, no, we already raised 700 and another 500,000. So, immediately things moves on. Like you want to create this constant momentum. So tip number one, be on top of the eyes on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Same moment. You get an email, sit and respond. And tip number two is run fast. Use a founder suite, have a huge pipeline. But that's true. Like huge, create an abundance of investors, potential meetings, attack, go to events. You're a machine. It's numbers game. Like it's a quality numbers game.
Yeah.
Like you need to create more and more and more opportunities with investors in your space, in your stage that are great people to work with. And you need to run fast to keep the momentum.
Mm-hmm. By the way, not to make this a sales pitch, but we just added a data room to Founder Suite. So now we have a true proper data room. And I want to integrate with a signature platform like HelloSign. So that will be a next step, because I think then we'll have literally the end-to-end chain of tools. So anyway, little teaser of what's coming down the pipe. Cool. This is great. What have we not covered, or any other just general advice you like to give your participants of your program, you know, that we haven't covered?
Yes, I think that if I can give you one more thing that I think is super important is that the old mindset is build, launch, and measure, and iterate, and repeat, right? Mm-hmm. Launch manager. This is the old mindset. I really recommend you to move to the new mindset, which is minimal viable marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Like build the marketing, put it out there today. It's so feasible to put, you know, like it on Facebook ads in front of the right audience. You put the minimum viable marketing, then you launch, then you test, then you iterate, and then you build. And this is NFX. There's a lot of some other investors have a lot of information online about that that you can read. And so founders say, yeah, but how can I create traction before I haven't launched yet? And investors want to see traction. I say, not the investor wants to see traction. You want to see traction. You're the number one investor in the company. Like you need to validate with the market before you're going to put all your money that you don't have. I mean, the other people's money and FFF money in order to build the product. Just test it. Like, create a waiting list.
Yeah.
Very simple. Create user testimonials. I used to go with any idea you have, you can create like 3 screenshots. People can connect the dot. They don't need to see the whole product. 3 screenshots, show it on your phone or on the tablet and say, this is the 3 main feature of product. What do you think? And if people are getting excited, they say, can I videotape you? Can I ask you a question? And user testimonials is like, once you're going to launch the product, why I want to use it? All right. That's the question. Write it down. When are you going to launch the product? Why I want to use it? And let them talk. Once investors see like 20 kids super excited, they can do the multiplication in their heads. So this is number 2. Number 1 is waiting list. Number 2 is your testimonial. Should I go through a few more options of creating traction before launch?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Number 3, a design partner. Go to some company, say, look, I'm about to launch this product. Is that something that they get all excited? Say, I'm enrolling now 3 design partners. It means people that we're going to launch it in March, but you have the opportunity to affect our features, be there on that, and get, of course, the 30% off the first year and be our design partner. Always in a big company, there's somebody, this is goes on their resume. Person on their resume that they were design partners for you. What's happened if you're going to raise suddenly $50 million and that's product manager at Netflix where your design partner?
So let me just repeat what you said, make sure it actually clicked into my brain. Finding a design expert at a well-known company, their salary, they've got plenty of money, and you're basically offering them the chance to kind of help you design that first product, obviously with the future fame that could come with that, basically, right?
Yeah, it can be a big company, but let's say you cannot get to Netflix, you don't have access, go to a smaller company.
Yeah.
Companies that would like to buy a product like that when it's going to be happen and willing to give you some time to become a design partner to make sure that the product really answers their need.
Yeah. Gotcha. And giving them equity too, would you incentivize?
I never give equity. I charge less money. Like we give them discount for the first year.
Yeah. Okay.
And sure. We give them a lot of, if after that, we're going to create a case study, right? Somebody needs to be there. Like we practically feature that person or that company. It can be, by the way, after that, if you do a self-liquidating offer, like you have an offer that you put on Facebook and you advertise your product, that's what I'm saying, try first. So the best advertising is to feature a customer. So they get a lot of visibility. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Yes, sure. Right? So
and then also distribution agreement. If with Indie, we did that. That really helped us. We had a messaging app that was not viral.
Uh-huh.
Every investor we met expect messaging app to be viral because it's WhatsApp and other. But we're a replacement to the default texting app. So once people use us, they already use us with their friends and a lot. So what we did, we signed up with a company, a phone manufacturer, to be pre-installed on 20 million devices.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's a rolling schedule. It's not in one day. But once we have the distribution agreement signed, pre-install 20 million devices, sharing the revenues from the app in the future, that got investors very excited. So this is something we could do before we launch some features.
Yeah.
We signed a distribution agreement. You can, number five is create the pipeline. You can definitely create the pipeline like you do with Founder Suite, pipeline of investors, pipeline of customers. So investors at least see the pipeline. As I start, those are the three hot in the pipeline, that how you manage the pipeline. There's a lot to show them. Come and say, at pre-launch, I have nothing. You have a huge pipeline. You talk with customers. The investor can talk with some of the people in the pipeline. Number six is marketing experiments. What I really recommend to use Facebook as a great tool to test the market and see the result. And then you can talk with numbers. You can say, look, 30, we have, it costs us $1 to bring a person to the website. The website itself convert 3%. Put a register, purchase, 80% click rate, purchase. Like you can totally talk numbers with a product manager type of investor.
Yeah.
And also for you, it's given that. And the number seven is the one I like the most. And some of our students did it and really went well. Is a pre-sale.
Mm-hmm.
You just say, look, I'm about to launch it. Buy it before and get some discount. A Kickstarter campaign, a direct pre-sale. If you have a product that companies really want, and you're good in sales, do some pre-sale.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always the best if you can get paid before building it and then, you know, build that beautiful kind of cash flow cycle that generates cash before having to deliver, right? That's great.
Yeah. So for those of us just joined now, a bit lost in context, those are the seven ways to create traction to your startup before you even launch the product.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. And of course, all of those are make beautiful slides to put in your actual pitch deck when talking to investors, right? Here's our marketing experiments. Here's what we learned. Here's our metrics from that. Here's our customer list, our customer pipeline. Here's 50 companies that are very prepaid. Like that's all beautiful from an investor perspective because it reduces the risk so much and, you know, proves demand for your startup, right? So it's very good.
I love it. I love it. And you know what? We took from our top students their slides and work with that. And we have a template for all those slides. So I want everyone to sit down now for yourself. We're going to repeat the seven very quickly and just write to yourself the one you're going to start tomorrow. Which one are applicable for you? So can we do it, Nathan?
Sure, go for it.
Let's go for it. So here are the seven traction options for a product before you launch it. Those are the founder of the, or before you launch your major feature. Let's call it your, the beta testing. So here are the seven. Write down the ones that are relevant for you. Waiting list, number one.
Yep.
Number two, user testimonials.
Yep.
People, why they will use your product once it's launched. Design partner, distribution agreement, pipeline, marketing experiment on Facebook, and number seven, the Holy Grail, pre-sale.
Yep. Beautiful.
Which one is relevant to you?
Everyone listening, watching, get out there and tackle a couple of those at least. Excellent. Well, we're coming close to the hour here. If people want to learn more about your program, it's simply raisetheround.com, correct?
Yes.
And what's the process? Do they have to apply? Do they just sign up? What's the, how's it work?
Everyone can join the bootcamp, $47. I think that through Founder Suite, we even give 50% off.
Yeah, I think we have it in our founders market, or it'll be there soon if it's not.
The idea is that you will come. Like the idea, 5 days, we spend time together. People put like $20, $40 just to. I find statistically, people who put money show up. People who do not put money do not show up. So come, show up. Let's work together. This is my passion. I love helping startup founders to learn how to raise money. I love to create this aha moment. They say, oh, that's amazing. I can do that. I can do that. And put yourself. It's funny. After that, the teams themselves start opening in WhatsApp groups and they communicate and they keep stay of meeting. And so about 15% join our 2.5 months program. But by all means, like our goal is to create the community, like the 10X community of us growing up together. So even people who not continue, they continue in WhatsApp group, they continue in that. We keep on inviting them to events. Let's help startup founders helping one another. just raise the round, create startups, and make the world a little bit a better place.
All right, good. Well, on that positive note, I thank you very much. This is great stuff. You probably can't see my page, but I've got two dense pages of notes. It's always a good sign that it's an action-packed podcast when I've got like pages of notes. So this is great stuff. People, www.raisetheround.com. Ito Tal coming to us from Palo Alto. This was awesome. And I'll see you because I'm coming in to talk to your group soon. So we'll see you again soon. So thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I love it so much. Maybe we'll talk about what we do together. Like sounds we good. Are having Nathan come to our students and we call it the 50 investor challenge. Nathan will come in and give us like how to use this system, open up to the students, and people will be able to send like 50 investors that are relevant for them in this stage, in their phase, and in their industry, and practically what email to write them. So after Nathan said, I'm coming for half an hour. So great, I'll take the other hour and a half after that. We're going to sit with them and make sure that people write those emails, review those emails, and make sure they send them the same day and track them, use MailTrack, use all this, like everything through the system to make sure that they know what's happened with that. And 3 days in a row, like doing a follow-up of those emails, follow-up and practically kick up January, because this is a great quarter to raise money. Investor raised so much money last year.
Mm-hmm.
Have a lot of cookies and food on the holidays, and now everyone will come back and look for good investments. And we want to put our student up there. So thank you, Nathan, for coming and bringing your wisdom and your system.
Yeah, I'm excited to put this into action and actually watching the students go through the process and seeing the results. So it'll be fun. So, all right. Well, see you soon. Thank you again. And enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much for having me.
Over now. Bye.